Were the winters particularly harsh on your family?
Well, our house was good and tight, and we were able to keep good and warm, even though we just had a fireplace for the heat, and of course the kitchen stove in the kitchen. But you had to have plenty of cover on the bed and all that, and of course the family sat around close to the fireplace, a big circle around the fireplace, and there at night's where you had all this family togetherness, and we'd play little games, play thimble and things like that, and then quite often we would sing, and it would be hymns usually.
Mm-hmm.
And
did your family have any musical instruments?
Not to play, no, nothing, no, nobody played a musical instrument before we moved out of the park area there in 33. We had a phonograph, we call it, a record player.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, most of the records back then were maybe ballads about some tragedy that had taken place. Like the Ballad of Floyd Collins, who fell in a cave up in Kentucky, I think it was. And then Little Marion, Little Mary Fagan or something that was kidnapped. And just there was usually a ballad written about happenings like that. And that's what a lot of the records were, except for some sacred music.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we had one laughing record. It, you know, somebody laughing all the way through it, and it was just impossible to listen to it without laughing yourself. And I remember my daddy on a trip to Knoxville then, well, there once, I don't know where he would have found them, but anyway, he came home with some records. I guess they were used ones, and was we had three, four waltz records.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, a brass band record on both sides of a brass band. So that was something new to us as far as music was concerned. So well, we had to pretty much create our own
entertainment.
Entertainment, yes. But we'd sit up around the fire there at night. And my daddy'd go on to bed early. He'd wind the clock about 8 o'clock and go on to bed. And my mother was, you know, being that much younger and all, she'd sit up and we'd get tickled sometimes. He was, our sitting fireplace was in the room where he slept. In these two big rooms in our house, there was two beds back in each corner.
Mm-hmm.
A double bed, you know, in one corner, a double bed in the other, and then the fireplace on the end of the room. So that and a desk that was about table size almost, that somebody in the family had made, we had in that sitting room now, and then all these chairs circled around the fireplace. So that was what it's like. We didn't have a rocking chair even then. It was all straight chairs.
Okay, do you want to tell me about the education now, or did you have more about the land?
Well, just unless you want me to tell you more about what our fare was in the way of food and all that. I did mention about
what were the basic crops that you
grew? Well, we mainly grew corn, mm-hmm. even though a lot of it was on the hillside. People keep making what they call new grounds, you know, clearing off the mm-hmm. timber if they had the land to increase the farm, the land that they had. Most everybody had a little garden, but we had quite a lot of level land, and so we had grew a rather big corn crop, and it supplied the cornbread from that, and then we also fed the mules and cows, and then sometimes they feed the hogs some extra feed for them, and they give them corn. So pretty much depended on that corn crop, and of course we grew a lot of potatoes too. We'd have a big potato patch every year. My daddy'd plow through the rows when they were to be dug, and He'd plow through when we youngins had to go along behind him and pick up the potatoes. And he'd go through that same row again and keep going over it until he was pretty sure he'd gotten all the potatoes out of it. So that's the way you dug potatoes.
What about fruit trees?
Well, we did have, yes, we had had a lot, an orchard of several apple trees and some plum trees and peaches, and we did a lot of canning in the summertime, and in addition to drying those apples, and we picked blackberries, and my mother canned a lot of those. She'd have some big half-gallon fruit jars, and she often would fill 400 or 500 cans in a summertime there, and a lot of it would be berries, and with jams and jelly and apple butter, and we had to go out and pick our blackberries up there, and in the early 1900s there in the mountains, folks considered it a sin for women to wear men's clothing. But we girls would put on overalls to go pick blackberries for this plenty of copperheads, copperhead snakes, and then in picking the huckleberries out on the mountainsides or ridges while there was danger of the rattlesnakes. Mm-hmm. So it was...
Did you worry about those?
Well, you had to be concerned because we would encounter them and picking berries quite often. Once my sister was picking berries from a blackberry bush that had leaned over in a little tree, and she was reaching up picking the berries, and then she noticed a snake. She's picking the berries right around. It had crawled all the way up in the on that blackberry briar there in the tree. And I remember my mother sent one of the children to the house after the shotgun, and of course she shot it. She was pretty good with a shotgun when she needed it for that. She, at one time she had to use it to kill a dog that we had gone mad, and when it came back home after being gone a few days, we saw it coming down the trail toward her house, and she had us close the gate, so when it came to the gate and couldn't get in, of course it turned, and as it turned, well, she shot it in the side, but it had to be killed. It was all foaming at the mouth.
Rabid.
Yeah. You see, there wasn't a vaccination, the rabies shots available then, and that was one thing to fear up there. Most people in the mountains had hunting dogs, and there was a lot of danger of rabies. And when I've heard my mother and daddy talk about a few people that, you know, were bitten and went mad, and people didn't have much choice except to just shut them up in a room when they got so terrible. That's pretty horrible to think about, but that's what they did with some of them. They just shut the person up in a room.
Was there, what was the largest disease or illness that was feared? What was like the main disease
or illnesses? Well, it didn't. I don't recall too much on any one thing because, people would get typhoid, and it wasn't unusual, of course, for people to get the common cold and then come down with the flu. And some people would get.
Were they fatal to people, or was there enough medicine?
Sometimes the typhoid, there was a big epidemic, I guess, in 1918, somewhere along there, and I know my mother had two teenage sisters that died with it, and there wasn't, no doctors and medicine available to help take care of them. But, mountain people had their own remedies. Yes, if you got pneumonia and all, they put onion poultices on your chest, or something like that. And I know my mother, when she had the flu a few times, so we didn't have electricity, so we'd heat hot water and put it in fruit jars to for heat, and not having a heat pad, then pile on more cover, and they would sweat the flu out, shall we say. So, and put a heat iron, put to their feet, and bottles of hot water like that, yeah. And that quite often took care of a case of the flu when people came down with it. But it all seemed to be the same type. Anymore, we got all kinds of different types of the viruses that go around, but it all seemed to be the same old aching and all that, aching and chilling, mm-hmm. same type that we had up there then. And few doctors were in the different areas. If somebody needed one or wanted to go for a doctor, they might have to ride 5 or 10 miles on a horseback to go after the doctor. And then when they get there, he might be gone 5 or 10 miles the other way to deliver a baby or something. So you couldn't depend on getting a doctor, and that's why people pretty much had their own home remedies up there.
How did the Great Depression affect your mountain life? I know that you were your family was pretty much self-sufficient, but...
Well, really, that was like 1929, wasn't it? We weren't able to notice any difference whatsoever there at home mm-hmm. as far as what we ate and had and all that. My daddy had managed to save some money and had it in the... bank, one of the banks in Sevierville. I think it was like $2,000 or $3,000. Of course, $2,000 back then, that was quite a bit then. And of course, he grumbled about it. And I remember mighty well my mother saying, "Well, I reckon it didn't make any difference. He'll stingy with it anyway." So, other than hearing him fuss a little about having lost it, that's all I knew about the. How the Depression really affected anybody, because their fare remained the same.
What was the main source of his income, or different sources he had?
Well, on in the 20s anyway, we had quite a lot of people from Knoxville who bought lots up at Elkmont to build them a summer cottage. And my daddy was the one surveyor up in the area there, and they would call on him to come and do the surveying for them. And then, of course, other people, too, if they needed to establish the line, property line, well, they'd call him to survey. And then when they did begin the development of the Great Smoky Mountain National Park up there, my daddy helped survey the land for that, when they were going to purchase the land. And he often went with some of the commissioners who did the buying to talk to people about selling their land. We had a few, of course, who didn't want to sell, but most people considered the money they were getting for their property, even though it wasn't a lot at all compared to real estate prices now. They considered it good money for some of their small mountain tracts they had. But a few people wouldn't sell, and so they condemned their land. And I remember my daddy having to make some trips to Knoxville to go to court there when they were in the condemnation, the suits that were brought against them. And, of course, they had to take whatever was awarded them for their land that way. Now, we had 245 acres, and I don't remember now what my daddy did get, but I think it was a little more with all the buildings and all that he had there on it than maybe some of the other places would have brought.
Okay, describe to me about the education.
What school was like? You should have been there. Oh, well, we had a two-room school by the time I went to school there out of Gatlinburg, where the Sugar Lands Visitor Center is located. There was originally stood a little one-room school farther up toward Elkmont, and I think the people in the community wanted a bigger school, because there was this area right where the Sugar Lands Visitor Center, the area that we called Forks of the Riverbank then. And the community on toward Elkmont from there was called Fighting Creek, and the little school was located up there, and they weren't happy with the little one-room school, and so they were pretty sure somebody burned it one night to get the county commissioners to build them a better school, because they were able to find a can of coal oil or kerosene when somebody discovered the building was on building was on fire. So of course, when the county commissioners then did decide to build a better school and all, they built it there, pretty close to where the Sugarlands Visitor Center is located, the park headquarters building. In fact, back of where the headquarters building now stands, our school was out near the creek from there.